Hello.
Hello.
I love you.
Hello.
Hi, girl.
Hi, Lolly. How are you?
Oh, that sweet velvety tone is back, my friends.
I'm good. I'm feeling alive.
Great. That's what we want.
Yeah, how are you?
Great. Still got that sweet velvety tone. I'm still drinking soy. Mind you, maybe once a fortnight I drink soy.
Well, I'm still drinking oat milk, so how about that?
Will you enjoy that carb juice, girl?
Girl, it's gone straight to the booty. Actually, side note, I was just getting ready for this podcast. I was just doing a little makeup in here and I even sprayed some perfume for you. So I just noticed I did that.
I could smell you.
I thought that was a bit weird.
It smelled pretty good.
So listen, Rainey, today we are going to lighten things up. Last week was super heavy, so we're going to do a little scandal.
Give me some scandal, baby.
Today is full of the juice. We got a little Ponzi scheme today.
I love a little Ponzi scheme.
I mean, it can make you a little squeamish, those Ponzi schemes. We got jewels, we got jets, we got designer brands, and we have a missing person.
Shit, it sounds like Matthew.
We're going to leave that one in there this week. All right, are you ready to go, girl?
I am strapped in, ready to go.
All right. We're going to go back to 2012. The year that apparently, according to the Mayan calendar, the world was going to end.
Holy shit.
And what was actually happening instead of the world ending was a group of lovely women, Australian women, they were all thinking, Sandra's birthday is coming up. It's a big milestone birthday and we've got to buy her a good present. So this group of friends had the brilliant idea of buying Sandra a Thermomix.
Holy shit, Lolly. I've had a Thermomix demonstration in my home.
Have you really?
I did. Last year.
Did you buy it?
No, but a friend did.
Great, because I was doing some Googling because I don't know anything about Thermomix. So take it away, girlfriend.
They're actually quite impressive. Very expensive, though. $2,500. No.
I know. Unbelievable. So look, I was doing a little Googling and apparently the Thermomix is a portable cooker, a blender, a food processor, mixer, baker, and so much more.
Yes, it is. But it's not an air fryer.
It's not an air fryer. I mean, honestly, I feel like you can get rid of every kitchen appliance and just stick with the air fryer.
Oh, hands down.
Sandra's lovely girlfriends thought, this is what we'll do. So everyone was going to chip in $50. Everyone's money arrived except for Melissa's. Now, one of the girls approached Melissa and said, look, honey, your money hasn't arrived. And Melissa was, she was insulted. How can you imply that I haven't sent my money? She was pissed. Melissa even went to get her bank records to show this group of women that her $50 was in fact transferred and it must be a mistake from the bank. Well, little did they know that Melissa was bullshitting them. Melissa had forged a little bank document to make it look like she had sent the money. And this, in fact, would be the start of Melissa's scheming and squeaming and ripping off her friends. Melissa Caddick ended up...
Caddick?
Ooh. Melissa Caddick ended up juicing $30 million from her friends and family over the next 8 years.
Oh my God, I know the story. It's so good.
Oh my God, it's juicy.
I was like, Caddick? I've heard that name, yes. Caddick.
I know. So look, we've done a little intro. She's a bit of a bitch. She's not a good friend, we've established. But we're going to go back and just really start to unpack some of the juice before we get into the main orange of the story. I don't know why we do. There's a lot of juice in this story. So we've got cold pressed. We've got concentrate. And we have got oat milk.
Raro.
Some raro. Melissa Caddick is a born and bred Sydney woman. And growing up, there was nothing too extraordinary about Melissa. In fact, most people said she was pretty plain Jane. Nothing really stood out. But Melissa was a master manipulator. She was actually a freaking genius. Now, originally, Melissa wanted to be a ballerina. But her frame really stopped her from pursuing that career. She just wasn't cut out to be one of those teeny tiny ballerinas. So that dream fell short. Caddick just really went on to get kind of normal, boring jobs. At one point, she worked for the NRMA. I think that's kind of like roadside assistance or something. Oh, insurance. It's insurance. Sorry, I should have done my homework.
That is boring.
That's right. And she just really felt that she was worth more than that. So she left that job and moved into working for a Sydney fund management company. So starting to dibble and dabble in finance. She actually got this job through a friend and things were going really well until the boss of this company was made aware from his accountant that some things were looking a little fishy. And it turned out Melissa had actually been forging some checks. So she'd been starting her scamming very early on, way before the Thermomix incident. But she was actually skimming some money off the top of checks, and the accountant raised the red flag. And this boss of hers was a very good man, because he decided, instead of going to the police, he just confronted Melissa. She said, yes, this is what's been happening. And he just asked her to leave. So without pressing any charges, it was about $2,000 worth of scams of stealing money. And he just decided to part ways with her, which was very generous.
Very kind.
So from there, she began to move her way up the financial industry's ladder. And she began working for a company called Wise Financial Services. She finally became a financial advisor. So look, guys, I don't actually know anything about financial advising, as we've established from the last few episodes, but I think that you would hire a financial advisor to take care of your money. Yeah?
Yeah, and you've got to be very careful as a financial advisor that you don't give the wrong advice, because you can get in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble.
Oh, if you are the financial advisor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Well, and you know what? It's a very big responsibility. So she was working for Wise Financial Services. Things were going really well. And she actually bought a 25% stake in this business. So she took out a $750,000 loan and she was ready to be a boss babe. She was working, things were going well. But Melissa started going against company policy and was giving out, well, wrong financial advice, really. She was being a little reckless and telling people to purchase certain properties, to invest in certain shares. And the Wise Financial Services bosses found out about this, confronted her, and she wouldn't back down. She was like, this is the advice I want to give people. And they said, well, unfortunately, we're going to have to part ways. So they gave her her money back. Very lucky.
Oh,
and from there, she actually moved to England to be with her then husband. He was actually from England. So they moved over there. He was a lawyer. His family was over there. So they were just playing happy family. They had a son. Everything was going well. But Melissa still had big hopes and dreams of pursuing that boss babe life. She wanted more than just being a stay-at-home mother.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. Get out there, girl. During this time in the UK, she had said to her husband, Tony Caddick, that she wanted to just really continue her education and upskilling in the financial world. So she was traveling and going to conventions and maintaining her skills as a financial advisor, even though she wasn't practicing. She had to take a trip to Switzerland for a little convention, but it's very strange because Melissa was actually in Paris, canoodling with her hairdresser.
Oh, not another canoodle.
I know, canoodling all around town. So Melissa was actually caught out cheating on her husband with her then hairdresser. And this guy's name is Anthony Coletti. He worked at a salon called Joe Bailey's in Sydney, which I have actually been to Joe Bailey's and...
Stop it.
I know.
Did he do your hair?
He didn't do my hair, no, but there's a couple of salons. So we've got their flagship salon in Double Bay, which is very fancy, very overpriced, and I definitely didn't get what I asked for.
I mean, well, when do you these days?
I know.
Gosh.
I know.
Don't get me started.
I know. We could go on and on and on. So look, if Melissa had a good hairdresser and he happened to be male, I don't blame her. You know, if he was that good, you got to keep him somehow, right?
Absolutely. God, I'm still searching. Hey, shout out to anyone in Christchurch. If you know anyone that can do hair, please get in touch.
Give us a call. Melissa and Anthony were canoodling in Paris, and you wouldn't believe it, one of her husband's friends happened to be at the same restaurant at the same time.
Oops.
And decided to give old Tony a call and let him know what was up.
She wasn't just getting her hair trimmed.
No, she was getting a little bit more trimmed. So she went back to England. The marriage fell apart. Tony went to go stay with the parents, and Melissa, in those few days that he was gone, packed up everything, scooped up the child, and fled back to Sydney. So poor Tony was left with nothing. She'd literally like drained the bank accounts and everything. Savage.
Yeah.
She's savage.
Surely that's illegal.
I don't even know. He obviously didn't put up a fight. I don't think you can just take the kid, right?
Oh, fucking males. He probably was like, bye.
I know. We don't hate all men, but there is definitely some shitty ones out there.
Sorry. Mark, on the other hand, he is superb.
I know. Mark is phenomenal. I wonder if he'll edit that bit out.
Mark is Lolly's husband, just in case you didn't know.
Yeah. And he edits his podcast, so we got to be careful what we say. But we do love Mark. He is phenomenal.
Mark is superb.
He is phenomenal.
Mark is superb.
So anyway, Melissa is heading back to Sydney to start again as a single mother in 2012.
With a shitload of cash.
And a fucking good hairdresser.
Life's good.
I know, life is good. She's got free hair appointments. Tony and Melissa had actually owned a property in Sydney. So when she returned, she went back to this house and started setting up her life again. She actually caught up with a lifelong friend at this time. Let's just call this lifelong friend Scarlett. Melissa is telling Scarlett about her scummy husband and how when she went to England with him, she caught him cheating on her. So, yeah, I know. So a little bit of confusion over the story here, but Melissa basically was telling all of her friends and family about how awful Tony was, how he was manipulative, controlling. He was basically moving her over to the other side of the world to isolate her. All of her friends and family were really not a fan of Tony. So Melissa and Scarlett catch up, and they have a lot in common because Scarlett and Melissa are single mothers. But one thing they don't have in common is Melissa is making out that she is wealthy as fuck. So Melissa has told Scarlett that when she worked for Wise Financial Services, she actually created the software and sold it to them for a whopping $86 million.
Woo-wee!
Woo-wee, indeed. So Scarlett is kind of in awe of Melissa because she really has done so well and she's so clever when it comes to money. Melissa offers to do the same for Scarlett. She tells Scarlett, listen, honey, I am a financial advisory wizard and I will take care of your money for you. I will take care of your investments and I will get you some mega massive returns. And Scarlett thinks this is a really good idea.
She's in.
She's in, baby. So what she does is she goes to take out her superannuation. Now, a superannuation is basically your retirement fund. So I think in New Zealand, it's called KiwiSaver.
Yeah. Can you withdraw? Was she over the retirement age?
Well, no. So the crazy thing is, Rainey, in Australia, you can have what's called a self-managed superannuation. So I know, it sounds very dodgy. I mean, it doesn't sound dodgy. You just got to be super careful. So you actually can access your superannuation. So this is the money that you have either put aside as a self-employed business owner when you're making income, or if you are working for someone else, there is a certain percent that's paid on top of your wages into your superannuation every week. So this money accumulates, and when you get to the age of 65, hello, thank you, daddy, give me that cash. You can,
Let's go on holiday.
Yeah, you can access this money to live out your retirement years with this money. You have the option of having it just taken care of through different management funds where they will invest it into shares and whatnot to get a return on top, or you can take care of this yourself. Now, Mark actually has looked into doing a self-managed fund, and after this story, I just don't know if he should, but yeah, so Scarlett has gone and taken out all of her money, her little nest egg for the future, and she hands over about $300,000 to Melissa.
Not good.
Ooh.
No.
Melissa also convinces Scarlett to liquidate all of her shares and her other investments and to give it all to Melissa because she's going to take care of it.
Mm.
Scarlett's in. She's convinced. Obviously, Melissa's talked up a big game.
She's selling the dream. Absolutely selling the dream.
So this is the very start of Melissa's Ponzi scheme. Now, Rainey, do you know what a Ponzi scheme is?
A Ponzi scheme is a pyramid scheme.
So
explain.
Yeah, so a Ponzi scheme is basically when you take money from an investor. So let's say you give me $100,000. And then I have old Brian in the back row there waiting for his, he's invested $100,000 too. So I now have your $100,000 and I'm going to take $10,000 of that money and I'm going to go, hey, Brian, look at your returns. We've made an extra $10,000 profit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give Brian that $10,000, which is your money. Brian's going to go, holy fuck, yeah, let's keep investing because these returns are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, yeah, so you're taking money from Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah.
And a Ponzi scheme, there's a few ways that it can end. So it can really just get so huge and so out of hand that it kind of implodes and it just can't sustain itself. The Ponzi scheme initiator does a runner,
mm-hmm.
or something happens and too many investors want to start taking their money back. And that's when we see the massive, massive cracks forming. So this is what Melissa starts to do in 2012. And she is really good at it because her friends and family all start to trust Melissa with their finances, with their retirement funds. To become a financial advisor, you need to have a financial services license number. Melissa didn't have that. And one day she actually received an email from a insurance broker that was taking care of some of her insurances to let her know that her financial services license number had changed and had updated the details and sent it out to all of her clients. So Melissa hit the goddamn jackpot. So she had this license number in her possession. She actually did call this woman and ask, could she practice underneath her financial services license number? Because that's what she was doing at Wise Financial Services. She wanted to work for this woman basically under her number. And this woman said, no, I don't really feel comfortable you doing that.
Mm.
But Melissa decided to go, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do it anyway.
Of course she did.
Melissa was such a good saleswoman. I mean, she could give a good pitch. What she actually did was Scarlett's friends and family were the first to invest. She was obviously taking people's money and showing these pretty big returns. And as we know with the Ponzi scheme, what's actually happening is Melissa is giving the profits of somebody else's investment. So it's looking like they're making returns, but in fact, she's just shaving it off somebody else's investment. It does actually take quite a bit of knowledge and skill to do what she did. This was no accident. She was very meticulous. This was very planned out. She probably did a little Googling on Ponzi scheme to know. There's probably some tutorials out there, guys.
Don't get me started.
Yeah. So, and what would happen as more investors would come in, Melissa would make it seem super lucrative. She would actually turn down investors and just say, I'm not taking any more clients at the moment. And this would create a little bit of stress within these investors because they missed the boat and they were hearing these whispers about these massive returns that Melissa was getting for her clients and they wanted in, baby. Take my money,
please.
A few months down the track, what do you know? Melissa would phone these people and say, ah, I've got an opening. Come on in.
Mm.
And they would be so super stoked. Take my money. Take it and let's get these big, big returns happening. Over the next 6, 7, 8 years, Melissa started raking in millions and millions of dollars. She's also started a pretty serious relationship with her hairdresser. So this is Anthony Coletti. And the two are just living up large. So the millions of dollars are raking in from her investors. And Anthony and Melissa get married in a lavish New Year's Eve surprise wedding. So it was a New Year's Eve party. They surprised all their guests with a little surprise wedding. She had 3 gown changes, a Gucci wedding dress. The Moët was pouring. Do we say Moët or Moët?
Moët. And surprise, all the guests paid for it.
They did pay for it. It was so extravagant, but little did they know everyone that was there were actually forking the bill. So,
ooh, that's not right.
No. So Melissa had a really fine taste. She liked expensive things, Rainey. Mm. So as the millions of dollars were pouring in, Melissa loved to buy label brands. And I'm just going to give you a little example of the receipts that she managed to accumulate over an 18-month period. So we're going to go a little further forward into the future.
Mm-hmm.
My God, she loved to shop. So in an 18-month period, Melissa spent $229,000 at Christian Dior.
Woo!
About $50,000 at Chanel.
Nice.
She spent $50,000 at Cosmopolitan Shoes. Don't even know what that is.
No, neither do I.
$14,000 at Louis Vuitton, $20,000 at Valentino, $190,000 on jewelry.
Shit.
$100,000 on just various other shops and about $500,000 on travel.
Wow. I mean, stand out. She only spent $14,000 at Louis Vuitton.
I know. I actually thought that was a little low.
Oh, that's very low. What's wrong with a woman?
I know. It's a little embarrassing, really. That's like, what, two handbags?
Yeah, if she's lucky.
There's speculation that poor Melissa has a disorder called CBD, compulsive buyer's disorder. And apparently this mainly affects women and it sort of sets in around the mid-20s. So I'm thinking we might be sick, Train. Especially you. I think you need help. Girl likes to spit.
Funnily enough, I don't though.
Really?
I'm pretty good.
I mean, as soon as that money hits your account, you're like, get rid of it. It's gotta go. It's gotta go.
I know. You should see my daughter. Oh dear.
What, is she just decked out in the Chanels?
Oh no. If she gets money for Christmas or birthday, it is not even here for a hot minute. It is gone. She is straight down to Mecca. She spent it all.
Yes. So anyway, poor Melissa has a shopping disorder, but she, look, basically the gist of this whole period over sort of about a 6-year period was she raked in millions and millions of dollars and bitch had to get rid of it as soon as it hit the accounts. And
oh, fair enough.
Yeah. So her husband was definitely reaping the rewards too. So Anthony Colletti was a part-time hairdresser and also a wannabe music producer / DJ called Two Paws. And he actually has a couple of albums out on Spotify, so we might link them below. They are pretty awful, okay?
Two Paws?
Two Paws, as in P-A-W-S. So Anthony was driving around in like a $350,000 Audi. He had them jewels hanging off his neck. They had the son was walking around in $15,000 sneakers. I mean, there was just an excessive amount of brands and labels and jewels and just so much spending. All this money that was coming in, it was people's retirement funds. So people that had worked their whole lives that were saving so much money, they trusted Melissa and they sent it all of her way. And she just spent it like,
unbelievable.
Honestly, like the spending was out of control. She was going on yearly holidays to Fiji and Aspen, private jets. She was spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on diamonds and jewelry. It was just so extreme. And Rainey, one of the worst things that she did was her elderly parents had been living in this family home for many, many years. And Melissa convinced them that it would be a great idea that they sell the family home, give her the money, and she was going to buy a penthouse in the eastern suburbs of Sydney so they could all live closer together. So they agreed to do this and they basically gave her $1.1 million in exchange for free rent. So live rent-free for the rest of their lives in this apartment. And then when they moved on to the next realm, Melissa would sell the property and her brother would split the proceeds.
God.
So they did this, and Rainey, the next day, or within the next couple of days of the money landing in her bank account, she went and spent $600,000 of that money on a frickin' diamond ring.
No, she didn't.
Yep, and private jets to go on holiday.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, she was actually disgusting.
Mean, so she didn't buy an apartment at all?
Well, she actually did buy an apartment. She had bought an apartment. She'd got a loan for it, but she didn't put that money on the loan. she just kept it for herself and she spent it on jewelry and jets.
It kind of sounds like a fun lifestyle, but it's just these poor people. But I mean,
I know. Could you imagine doing that to our mum? Oh. And these parents were in their 80s.
Horrific.
They were in their 80s.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's so disgusting. All of her victims had no idea this was going on, and she was living the high life. They bought the $6 million mansion in Dover Heights, so a really big, beautiful home with an amazing view of the Sydney Harbour Bridge and the Opera House, and that was back in 2014. So you can imagine $6 million in 2014. Ooh, it's a big old house.
Shit, yeah.
So yeah, so she's living the high life. Of course, as we mentioned, a Ponzi scheme, it cannot go forever. So the cracks begin to form in 2019. What happened was there was a surgeon in Perth who was going to invest some money. His wife was actually amazing because she was one of the first people to actually do her due diligence, to actually go, let's just make sure that all of this money that we're giving to this financial advisor, it's going to someone legit.
Well,
I mean, come on.
I mean, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure this one out.
No, it doesn't.
But apparently it did.
It actually did take a brain surgeon's life. I mean, yeah, that's really funny. She wanted to talk to Melissa. She actually was an accountant, so she was a smart cookie. So she wanted to talk to Melissa, had a lot of questions, and she actually decided to look up this financial service license number.
Smart.
Do a little Google, guys. Do some Googling, all right?
Yeah.
So she looked up this number and it was under a different person's name.
Of course it was.
So she thought, that's weird. And she thought Melissa was a little weird with just answering some questions. And so what she would actually do, the way that the scam would work, is that people would give Melissa all of their money. She would create what's called a ComSec account, which is basically where you can buy and sell shares. So she would put all of their money into buying different shares and investing in different shares and trades and stuff like that. And so what would typically happen is, as an investor, you should have access to your ComSec account.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't actually know that. So she would say that she would look after the ComSec account.
Yeah.
She would be sending them updated documents of their returns. And she would create these fake documents showing these really impressive returns. Normally, if you're investing in shares, maybe you'll see like a point of a percent or a couple of percent return within the year. Some of these returns were just so extreme. I mean, one document had a return of 257%. It's like, come on.
Sounds legit.
She was just really good at Photoshop. She was, because she was creating these documents.
She was on Canva.
Yeah, she was on Canva. She probably wasn't even on Canva Pro, because you can do a lot on just the pleb version. So this brain surgeon's wife looked into this license number, and lo and behold, it belonged to a different woman's name. So she contacted this woman and said, hey, just wanted to check, you have a Melissa Caddick working under this license number. And this woman was like, excuse me.
Sorry, who?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely not. So this is the first cracks that begin to form. The surgeon's wife calls ASIC, which is the Australian Security Investment Commission. This was an anonymous tip off. And unfortunately, ASIC didn't actually look into it, which is so insane. Like, just do a little bit of digging, guys. It wouldn't have actually taken much.
People are just so shit at their jobs, Ollie.
Oh, so shit. Yes.
Honestly.
But they have said, because it was an anonymous tip-off and they didn't actually have that much information to go on, they couldn't actually look into it. I mean, I call bullshit on that.
Absolutely.
Yes. So look, within the next year, Melissa continues to trade under this woman's number. August 2020 is where the biggest crack of all begins to form. I mean, it's a fucking earthquake that's about to go down up in this bitch.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. August 2020, I mean, we have plummeted into lockdown. There is a lady who needs a root canal.
Ugh, hate those.
I know, but this root canal would turn out to be one of the best days of her life. So she has gone into the dental office and she's just sitting in the waiting room. She's waiting nervously to go in and see the devil himself, the dentist. honestly, but just so much trauma around dental appointments. So she's sitting there. She's just actually chatting to another patient that's waiting to go into her appointment as well. They actually get discussing about finances and investments and boring shit like that.
As you do in the waiting room.
Yes. And so this woman, patient A, throws around Melissa Caddick's name because she is actually one of Melissa Caddick's lucky investors. And she is telling patient B how lucky she is to have found this woman because she is making mega returns.
Mm. Mega.
Rainy.
Uh-oh.
Patient B
mm-hmm.
was, in fact, the woman who owned the financial services license number.
No, she wasn't.
She absolutely was.
Oh, my God.
I know. What are the chances? So patient B says to patient A, we need to talk. We cannot talk here, but you must get your money back from Melissa Caddick. And at this point, patient A is like, oh, no.
Oh, shit.
And her name's probably called and she's got to go in for a goddamn root canal. And she's sitting there going, whoa, holy shit, what's happening? This is the worst day of my life.
Mm.
Drills are going. The mind is spinning. Patient B and patient A go and catch up. I'm sure it was probably an illegal catch up being August 2020.
Maybe they're in each other's bubble, Lolly.
That's it. She basically goes on to tell her that she is illegally trading under her license and she needs to get her money back. She needs to say whatever she can because she is certain that Melissa is doing some fraudulent scamming and investing with people's money. So patient A contacts Melissa Caddick. And she says, hey, I found this property that I need to buy. Like I desperately need the money back because this is my dream home and I have to buy it. Patient A has invested $2.5 million with Melissa.
Woo!
Melissa goes on to try and talk her out of taking the money back and has basically said, well, look, I know you want to put the money into a property, but look at the returns that you're making. You're getting so much money back. It just doesn't seem like it's a smart choice. And a little bit of back and forth is going on between these two. And Melissa decides, okay, I've got to give her her money back.
Mm-hmm.
Amazingly, this woman gets her $2.5 million back plus an extra $300,000 on top.
Wow.
Because remember, Melissa has been faking all of these statements to all of her investors. So she has about 50 to 55 investors at this point. It takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. This was no accident. Melissa actually was one smart, bitchy cookie.
She sure is.
So she was faking all of these statements. Every year, your self-managed superannuation has to be audited just to make sure everything's above board. Melissa was taking care of this for all of her clients and she actually had an auditor. She just managed to find someone up in Brisbane, so not even where she lived, who would do a really bad job.
Terrible.
I mean, we're not saying that this auditor was in on the scheme, but he was just really shitty at his job.
Clearly.
Yeah, so she's returned this money and at this point there is another complaint that has been made to ASIC in August 2020. I'm unsure if it was from the financial services license number owner or if it came from the patient A who's got her money back, but it's something to do with those two. So the earthquake has happened.
It's juicy, Laurel. It is juicy.
November 11th, 2020. 6 a.m., Melissa Caddick gets a rude awakening with a big old thump, thump, thump on the door, and it's the Australian Federal Police.
Mm-hmm. She's going down. Bitch going down.
Bitch going down. So they are there with a search warrant, and they are also there with ASIC, the Australian Services Investment something, whatever, who gives a shit. And they are there to go through every piece of Chanel and Dior and gems and jewels and documents that they can find with a fine tooth comb. They are going in.
While two paws is playing in the background.
That's right. So over a 12-hour period, they literally strip this place apart. They package up about 89 boxes worth of evidence. And in these boxes is documents, Versace, Louis Vuitton, Christian Dior. There are, you know, everything from their wedding rings to her Gucci wedding dress. There is gems and jewels, the son's $15,000 sneakers. It's all there. It's all boxed up, going into evidence.
Oh, you'll just love to drop one of those boxes off to your house on the way home.
I know. Oopsie.
On the way to the office. Oops.
I know. Well, we're going to talk about Versace shoes and rubbish bins in just a minute. And there's actually some body cam footage. Melissa is standing there. She's just in her active wear because obviously wasn't expecting this to go down, apparently.
No.
And they are asking her about certain items and their value. And she's standing there in her office because in her office is a safe that had all of her jewelry.
Ooh.
And they're asking her to list off the value of these items. And she's playing it down big time. She's like, that one might be $100,000. It's like, bitch, that one was $300,000. And you know that. Everything she was saying was less than it was. She's admitted that it's all high value items, but she does look quite shocked. And the thing is about this woman, like, she just looks like somebody's mom.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing dodgy looking about her. She just looks like sweet, normal, plain Jane woman who wouldn't hurt a fly.
No. She's obviously got mental problems.
Yeah, she's fucked up.
Yeah.
They take all of the items away. They go away to do their investigating. And Melissa is due to appear in court on Friday the 13th via video link because it's COVID and it's all stupid and shit. Isn't it funny how like all that stuff happened with COVID and now here we are just... Don't even worry about it.
Just coughing and spluttering all over everyone.
Just go about your day. If you got COVID, don't worry. It's all good.
Oh, I know.
I mean,
COVID schmovid.
We'll do an episode on that one day. So the night comes to a close. Apparently, Anthony goes out to get them dinner. They were so distraught that they just didn't really even discuss the events of the day that was, which I find highly unlikely.
Weird.
So Anthony has said that he goes to bed. He wakes up the next morning to find Melissa isn't in bed next to him. And he gets up and she's nowhere to be found. It's like, that's weird.
But she's done a runner.
Yeah, well. Mm-hmm. He's actually asked the son, so his stepson, if he knows where mom is. And he has said, well, I heard the door close at 5:30 this morning when he was apparently in the gym upstairs, apparently on the third floor.
Who the son was?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's like, 14, 15, I mean,
whatever.
Really? 5:30 in the morning?
It's a bit early.
Would your daughter be working out at 5:30 in the morning?
Absolutely not.
No, definitely not. The day goes on. Anthony actually finds Melissa's phone, her keys, all of her items are at home. Very strange. The day goes on. Apparently, Anthony has gone out in his car looking for Melissa. He's driving around in his $300,000 Audi, blaring his original music out the window because if she's hiding out, surely she's going to come out to the sweet tunes of Two Paws. But she doesn't. So it's not until the next day, 30 hours later, that Anthony actually calls the police to report Melissa missing. And this causes a little bit of some side eye because why did it take him so long? The police come to the house. He hasn't mentioned to them what has actually happened 30 hours prior with this massive police raid. He mentions a little bit about what had happened, but he doesn't really go into detail. He has no idea. It's so out of character. He's saying on the body cam footage, you know, we work really hard for what we have. She's done nothing wrong.
Huh.
This is just so strange.
Absolutely.
So originally when he filed the missing person report, the police had asked him to come to the station, which he said he couldn't because he was working. They have also asked, can we come to you? He has said, no, I'm working, which is so strange. The police are like, fuck that, we're going to his house. So they just show up.
Yeah.
So the police come in, take the report. They actually leave and the police that are there call their supervisor and just say, "This something's off. Something doesn't seem right." So the, I don't know, let's call him the superintendent, comes down. There is body cam footage, knocks on the door. Anthony answers. They go upstairs. Now, this place is super air-conditioned, very, very comfortable, but Anthony's sweating bullets. The superintendent is saying, or the constable is saying, look, mate, I don't know if you're telling us the whole truth. I just feel like something's off here. He says, honesty is the best policy. Like, what's actually happened to your wife? Because I think you're not telling me the full story. Mm. Anthony's gone on to say, I'm here to help you. I'm giving you all the information I have. I'm fine. I just want you to find my wife. I don't know where she is. They leave, and then this is when they do some digging. They find out what has actually happened. They're very concerned for Melissa's well-being because obviously she's in a lot of trouble, mm-hmm. Rainey.
She is.
They need to find where Melissa is.
It's not a good day for Miss Caddick.
The strange thing is Anthony didn't call anyone. He didn't phone her parents, her brother, friends, or family. He didn't contact anyone. I mean, if you went missing, I'm sure Dan would call me.
I hope so. I feel like something weird has happened, yes. And he must be in on it.
Well, it is weird, very strange behavior. So about 6 days after she goes missing, there's a press conference. Again, Anthony is acting a little off. He's not answering the journalist's questions. He's ignoring questions. He's very matter of fact. Melissa's brother is there also. He gets on and does a plea out to the public, and he's very upset. He can hardly keep his tears held back. And the contrast in the two is very, very strange.
Yeah.
But look, we don't know how we'll handle these situations, but it seems odd. At this point, Melissa's victims have no idea that they are victims. So a lot of her friends are so concerned for her well-being. But this is when all of the information begins to come out into the media, into the public. And a lot of these investors actually found out that they had been scammed through these news articles and these reports, which is just so awful.
Terrible.
So there was one woman who worked for the Sydney Morning Herald, and she really was covering this story in a massive way. And she was telling, she'd done this article about how Melissa's scam would have these ComSec accounts which only had 6 digits. And in fact, if you just did a little bit of homework, these accounts would have 8 digits. So All of a sudden, all of these people are phoning ComSec to find out, where are their funds? Can we access our money? They're reading out these account numbers, and these poor people on the other line at ComSec are saying,
no.
Is this in relation to Melissa Caddick? I'm sorry, we can't help you. We can't actually talk on that. So this is, yeah, when everyone's realizing that their life savings has been spent at Christian Dior.
Yeah.
And Louis Vuittons.
Absolutely awful. Yeah, you'd be wanting one of those boxes just quietly.
That's right. So apparently leading up to this massive raid, Melissa had hired a shredding company. Mm. So a industrial kind of shredding business. They come off and drop a massive shredder and you can start shredding documents. So she's shredding documents. She's also deleted Facebook and Instagram.
Oh,
so I'm feeling like, I think maybe she was aware that this was about to go down. Her husband has actually said that they knew. Apparently, one of the neighbors was taking the bins out one night and saw her rubbish bin overflowing with boxes of Valentino and Christian Dior shoes. I know. So she goes and has, or she or he, I'm going to assume it's a she, because only a female or a gay man would notice those boxes poking out of a rubbish bin. So they go over and have a look, and apparently she is just throwing out heaps of designer clothes and shoes.
Did they like take some home? I mean, you would.
But I mean, I'd be fucking taking that whole rubbish bin, baby. I'd be wheeling it straight up my drive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, once it's on the street, finders keepers.
Mm-hmm.
All the information's come out. She's gone missing. There's speculation that her husband's in on some sort of, maybe helped her run away. That's what it kind of looks like. Why didn't he report her missing sooner? People are desperately trying to find out where their money is, and no one knows where Melissa is. She's just disappeared. So days go by, weeks go by, months go by.
Wow.
February 21st, 2021.
Not long ago.
About 450 kilometers south of Sydney, there are some people just camping out on a beach down there, and they notice a running shoe. Being the good Samaritans that they are, they thought, let's go put that shoe in the rubbish bin, because let's keep our beaches clean and tidy, friends. And to their goddamn shock and horror, that shoe contained a foot.
Holy shit. I mean,
a foot.
They got a little more than they bargained for.
They did. And at first they thought it was a bit of a joke. They thought it was like chicken bones or something. So yeah, decomposing foot.
Ugh.
So they call the police. They said when they're waiting there for the police, there was a whole bunch of seagulls trying to steal the shoe away. So they were trying to keep that shoe in their possession and fight off these seagulls.
Those seagulls were hungry. Tasty.
The police take this shoe away. They send the foot off for some forensic examination. And February 26, they get a DNA match for Melissa Caddick.
Woo!
So, look, this is a little confusing because where is the rest of her?
Is she out there with one foot?
Has she just cut her foot off, or has her foot just detached from her body and washed to shore?
Yeah.
So much speculation, so much investigating going on into what could have happened. So Melissa had her property in Sydney in an area called Dover Heights, and not far from her house was this place called The Gap. Beautiful cliff edges, outstanding view over the water, but very, very sharp, steep cliffs.
Dangerous.
This cliff was actually notorious for people taking their own lives.
Brutal.
There was speculation that maybe Melissa had committed suicide because, you know, she'd left her property. They had done massive searches of the water, so sea and air searches of this area, and they couldn't find her. Did she jump and fall to her death and get swept away in the current? So studies show that when you drown, you can sink to the ocean floor. And when you are deceased there on the ocean floor, your body can be consumed by lobsters and crabs and low swimming fish and sharks.
Tasty.
They've actually done studies with pigs, poor big pig bodies down at the bottom of the ocean. And within like 3 days, though, Gone. There's nothing much left. Yeah. So they're saying that if you have running shoes on, these are really good flotation devices. It can keep the foot contained. So it is a possibility that she's been eaten by the ocean's creatures and her foot has floated down the coast.
Where's the other one?
There is also, well, I know. So there is actually this crazy phenomenon in Canada. There's this island. Within the span of 15 years, about 20 feet washed up in shoes on this island. I know. And originally they thought maybe it was a serial killer. But they actually figured out that with the currents of this in this particular part of the ocean, that if bodies entered the water, this was why these feet keep washing up to shore. And they were all contained in sneakers. So it's not uncommon for your feet to become detached from your body and for them to just float away in their little wee sneaker boat and wash up ashore.
Sneaker boat.
So fucked up.
Chugga chugga. Wow.
So much speculation. Poor Anthony Colletti is just, he is copping so much public scrutiny because he was claiming he was none the wiser to Melissa's Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
He was just living it up, really. No questions asked.
He was just a hairdresser. He probably didn't really understand anything about the financial world in terms of financial advising, and he probably didn't know.
No, he probably didn't.
No. I mean, Mr. Two Paws, I mean, doesn't sound too smart.
He doesn't sound too smart at all, no. During this period of time when, you know, her foot's washed up, I mean, pretty sad for the family because, look, Melissa Caddick was an evil, nasty person. But
awful.
That was still somebody's mother and child, so they do.
Mother and child that fucked over her parents.
I know. Horrendous. Following the next couple of years, Anthony Colletti decided to claim some of the fortune of Melissa Caddick. He filed a lawsuit claiming some of the wealth of Melissa Caddick because they were married and this was his money too. Apparently he had spent a lot of money in buying some of their assets, which is absolute garbage. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to claim the $7 million in shares, $2 million in jewelry, both properties, and the Gucci wedding dress.
Oh, stop it.
So this went on and on and on. He was living in the Dover Heights mansion for 18 months rent-free. He refused to leave. He finally left. And after months and months of fighting for assets and wealth, he decided to let go of this lawsuit. What an absolute kick in the teeth for these poor victims.
Wow. I mean, he could have just asked for like a couple hundred grand or something.
Melissa Caddick's parents were fighting to keep the penthouse because they also were victims in Melissa's scheme. Mm. This caused a lot of stir within the victims of Melissa Caddick because millions and millions and millions of dollars were stolen from this group of people. And then you've got Melissa's parents who are fighting for this property And they didn't really think it was fair because it was looking like Melissa's parents were going to get money back. So they were thinking, this is so unfair. Yeah. Why should Melissa's parents get money back when we've also lost all of our money? So this actually created a lawsuit that went on and on, and it racked up hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of legal fees, and they finally decided to drop it because it was kind of putting a pause on investors getting some of their money back.
Right.
So Melissa's parents actually did get a payout of about $980,000. So they'd given Melissa $1.1 million total. So they were so super lucky to get that money back.
Super lucky, but I mean, that would get you absolutely nothing.
No, it wouldn't.
No.
Melissa's investors to this day have received $3 million back from the initial $23.5 million that was stolen.
What?
That's fuck all, yeah. So basically what had happened was they'd sold the Dover Heights mansion for about $9.5 million. That had a $4 million mortgage on it. They sold the penthouse for a couple million dollars over its original purchase price. But again, there were mortgages on all of these properties. There was a $2 million legal bill that had to be paid back before investors got any money back.
Ooh.
They sold all of her jewels and her clothing and vehicles. But again, the leftover amount was only $3 million. These poor people have lost absolutely everything, their nest egg, their future, their retirement plan, all out the window. There was one family, which was the original friend I told you about, Scarlett. She managed to get her friends and family to invest, and the total amount of money that this family lost was $10 million.
Wow, so a massive chunk of the total.
Oh. Almost half.
Awful.
So there was a coroner's inquest into Melissa Caddick's death. So this was in 2023. So it was a massive sort of hearing. Melissa's parents were there, the brother, the victims, Melissa's husband took the stand, and all of the evidence was given. The final ruling in Melissa Caddick's disappearance was that she is dead. There is no way of determining how she died. There was speculation that the running shoe had been in the water for as little as 1 week. Ooh. But there was also testing and speculation that it had been in the water for a month. So just so much conflicting evidence. So look, this is basically where we're at today. Poor Anthony has, you know, his music career isn't really doing much. he's released an album called Raid, which is literally all about this whole experience. He is shitting on ASIC, the federal police, talking about his wife and the missing millions. And he kind of thinks that Melissa didn't do anything wrong. He thinks that she just sort of lost money on the share market and was trying to make the money back for investors. Melissa was so good at lying. She was just so good at spinning a story and convincing people that she could help them. So you could just imagine the lies that were spun to her friends and family over the years. I mean, it's a crazy story. She was a master manipulator. In some regards, she was a fucking genius. I mean, it's unbelievable what she got away with for years and years. So,
yeah.
So, look, for sure. That is the Melissa Caddick story, the Ponzi scheme, the missing millions, the jewels, the gems, the Diors, the washed up foot.
Mm hmm.
Rainey, can you handle that crime and scandal?
Oh, Lolly, you know what? I'm going to say it. I absolutely can.
You can handle it. Doesn't make you feel upset.
Do you know what? There is a massive amount of risk when it goes into investing, and you have to be aware of it.
This is it.
So unfortunately for the people that have trusted Melissa with their money, they are aware that there's a risk that goes with it. So it's just how the cookie crumbles. But yes, horrible. It was her friends and her family. Awful, awful. I mean, she lived this lavish, glamorous, glorious life. Who knows? Maybe she's out there hobbling around with one foot. Lolly, can you handle the crime and scandal today?
Oh, I think, you know what, I was going to say no, but you've raised a really good point, Rainey.
Mm.
If you are giving your hard-earned money away in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, and you don't even Google the financial services license number to make sure it belongs to that financial advisor. This is the kind of story, obviously, when we compare it to last week, like there's a bit of glitz and glamour. There's some Hollywood. There's some mystery involved. So yes, I can handle today's story.
There you go.
But I do feel sad for everyone involved in Melissa's scam because I actually thought I had been scammed this week.
Yeah, I know.
It was only $495, but I was furious. You should have heard me. I was caroning hard on the phone. I managed to get my money back, but I just for a moment was like, oh, this is obviously what Melissa's victims felt like.
I know. Oh, look, it's horrible. It's horrible.
But way worse.
Yeah, I got scammed last year, actually.
Did you?
I bought a mascara online and this fucking company charged me every single month for a new mascara.
How many months?
I don't know. I went on for about 6 months until I was like, what is this nonsense? So I rang the bank and they actually cancelled my card. So, I mean, it's about $27 a month.
Oh my God, that's absolutely outrageous.
Anyway, I know.
The audacity.
Fucking rude, right? But it is really sad. They should have done their due diligence and they didn't. It's just how it goes, unfortunately.
Yes, but it is very, very sad. And I can see how they got caught up in this massive, massive web of lies. This just is such a crazy story. Where is Melissa? There's a washed up foot. Mm. I wouldn't put it past her to cut her own foot off or to pay someone $1 million. Oh, because there is a little, little piece of evidence that does suggest maybe she had some money stashed away. Because you can't tell me if you're running this massive, massive scam that you aren't preparing for it all to come crumbling down one day. Surely.
Exit strategy. And I'm sorry, it's pretty fucking ballsy to go jump off a cliff. I mean, I don't think she could do it.
I don't think she'd have the guts to do it because she just loved herself too much.
Absolutely.
But when old patient A got her $2.5 million back plus $300,000 on top, it came from an offshore account.
Fuck yeah, it did. She is in the Bahamas with one foot drinking her pina coladas.
That's it. She's got a little wooden foot and she's painting her wooden toes.
She is. She actually is. She would have got a little fake passport. She'd have sussed out.
She'd have planned out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So look, who knows? We'll never know. Or maybe we will.
Maybe.
Maybe she'll just, the rest of her will wash up one day. I hope that wasn't too confusing, but that is the story of Melissa Caddick. Well, I got a lot of my information from the podcast Liar Liar, which is an in-depth series. The Sydney Morning Herald has 100 million articles about it. We'll be back next week with the true crime and scandal, maybe a bit more murder next week. What do you say?
I think I'm going to cover a little murder.
A little murder?
A little murder, absolutely.
Keep the goods coming. Thanks for tuning in, guys. You can find us at Can't Handle Podcast on all the social media platforms.
Share with a friend. All right, team.
See you next week.
All right. Love you, Lily.
Love you, Rainy. Bye. Do you know when they found that foot, a belly button washed up? I'm not kidding you, Rainy. Hey. Somebody's belly button washed up on the same beach, but it wasn't Melissa's.
Wasn't an Audi or an innie?
I don't know. I'm guessing it was an innie because I feel like if an Audi washed up, you wouldn't even think twice. You'd just think it was a bloody oyster or something.
A little mussel.
That's it.